Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Faking Movies. This is going to be episode 57. It's going to be a very special one for many reasons. We'll get to that. I'm joined, of course, as always, by my dear friend Zach. What's up, Zach?
Not much. How's it going?
Pretty good. I'm very excited about this week. And yeah. Also, of course, my dear friend Seth. What's up, Seth?
I didn't make a bunch of noises when you were introducing everything.
I know. So, it makes me feel like we've turned a corner as friends. We're also joined this week by our good friend. Like, because you respect me more now?
No.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. It might be I respect you less.
Oh. So, like... Tough love, is that what you were going for earlier? Because it kind of seemed like you were being a dick.
Yeah, well, we all are wearing tank tops, and that is the uniform of tough love.
It is great. all of us, including our guest this week, our dear friend Caitlin. What's up? How's it going?
Hello! Oh, I should get closer. Hi! Hi, listeners!
Delicious.
I like that when you got closer, you decided it was time to whisper into the microphone. I don't know how I tag some of our... By the way, everybody, check out our Twitter, check out our Instagram, check out our website. There's some good stuff on there. I know that when I tag our Instagram, I don't tag it with ASMR, but if you want to, I guess go ahead. We can open up to a whole new market.
I'm pretty deep in that community. I feel like I can tell the folks. We can get in there, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Do you want me to just start tapping? Like, not tapping?
You know,
really
in some circumstances,
subtly?
Yes. In this one, definitely not.
Why wouldn't I tap? Like, just
see, now we're talking. Now maybe we're
I would offer to cut my hair on Mike, but it is the source of all my power, so I'm not going to do that.
Like, what's his name?
Yeah,
Samson.
Exactly.
Yeah. There you go.
So, just to get out ahead of this, I teased that it's a very special episode. This is episode 57. I'm sure you folks out there are familiar with the significance of that number. And so were we, because we reached out, and let me tell you, we want to thank our very special sponsor for this week's episode, Kraft Heinz Corporation, maker of Heinz Ketchup. Hey, everybody,
yeah!
Let's talk about how much we love Heinz.
Oh,
yeah.
God, I fucking love Heinz. It's
I love
good.
Your tin spaghetti.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over in England, just like their baked beans.
And New Zealand.
They're multinational.
NZ.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to put it on a pizza. Or whatever.
Yep.
But guys, for real, is anything better than just some Heinz ketchup?
Nothing in the world.
Just a big old spoon of Heinz. Oh man.
Yeah.
We got
some friends of the show living in Pitts now. They have high regards for the wonderful Kraft Heinz Corporation, as I recall.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a stadium there? I feel like there's a stadium of
Heinz and
Fields.
Some rivers.
Yeah.
I think they own all that shit. Yeah.
Oh shit!
Wait, they own the rivers?
No, I'm just trying to hype them up.
Rivers run red with ketchup.
Yeah.
every time the Steelers score a touchdown.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They release the ketchup.
Pitt and Carnegie Mellon have ketchup bottles instead of whatever their stupid mascots are now.
Exactly.
The Scots and the Panthers, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. So thank you to our new corporate overlords, Heinz. Thank you, Heinz.
Thanks, Heinz.
Okay, guys. So let's take the one where Heinz doesn't agree to sponsor us. So yeah, hey, this is episode 57, and you know we had reached out to the Kraft Heinz Corporation, and they had no interest in sponsoring us. So let me just
fuck them.
Yeah, yo, I hear Heinz ketchup fucks you up. Like that shit is gross.
Yeah,
yeah. Have you ever
heart attack?
Yeah. Have you ever been to New Zealand? Because they'll put Heinz tin spaghetti on pizza.
That
is
the most
disgusting
thing.
Savages.
Heinz is bullshit. fucking Hunts for Life. I heard Hunts like gives money to charity and shit. Hunts is the best.
I got hepatitis A and I went to the doctor and they're like, have you eaten Heinz recently? And I was like, oh, I have, weirdly. Yeah.
And then for legal reasons, they told you that it's unrelated, but just an interesting story.
They did. I wasn't supposed to say that. I'm not implying that it gave it to me, but like, you do the math. You know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man. I love all them Hunts tomato sauces.
Yeah, yeah. Hunts is the best. So,
yeah, that's whenever I need to make sauce, I buy Hunts to start with. So thank you, Hunts, for not being Heinz.
Yep.
Okay, guys, so, I think, we got them both. Yeah,
yeah, I think
we're good.
One of those will work for sure. Yeah.
We got them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just remember, Zach, to edit in the relevant one.
Definitely
when this episode comes out.
Definitely will. Yep. Okay, cool.
So, hey, this week, we've got a fucking banger lined up. Caitlin, you are here to fake a movie that we honestly never thought we were going to get to do.
When
Lee told us that this was even a possibility, like, the world stopped rotating. This was so exciting. Yeah.
Zach found himself in an Alan Jackson song.
I did. I sure did. Sorry. Go ahead.
I'm doing Back to the Future.
Fuck. Yes. What?
I was on the list and I emailed Lee immediately.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
It was one of those boxes we never thought we'd get to check off.
Yeah.
Yes, you're so welcome.
Very exciting.
So, first of all, I would like, before you actually jump in, I was hoping you could give us two bits of information. One, who are the actors that we told you about?
So I've got Michael J. Fox, Leah Thompson, Christopher Lloyd, Crispin Glover, and Billy Zane.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Fucking Murderer's Row of 80s talent right
now.
Yeah,
for sure, yeah.
Yep. Which is, it does kind of give away a little bit about the movie, but that's okay.
Eh.
Secondly, do you remember what you told me you knew about the movie?
I said I knew Michael J. Fox, presumably time travel, and that guy from the Ernest movies.
You sure did. And that was...
Ernest movies, yep.
That made us so excited, I gotta tell you.
Yeah, I was on cloud 9, and then I was on cloud 99 after that review. It was just unbelievably
good. How many Luftballoons did it take you to get to cloud 99?
Oh, just at least 99 of them, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't realize on writing this that I have seen the movie poster, so that informs this a little bit.
That's okay. We had guests at one point that had seen the trailer for the movie.
That's true.
I think it still worked out fine. Yeah. I think you can really run with this. Yeah.
Yeah.
The
theme song is 99 Luftballoon.
It's a very good one. Very good.
Yeah.
One.
I mean,
is it really?
No,
but that'd be pretty cool.
Well, I mean, you get to pick, so like, do whatever you want.
By Nana, yeah, but maybe it is.
We'll get to this later, but there are kind of semi two theme songs, three, I guess, kind of to the movie. We can talk about that later.
Okay,
but yeah, would you like to?
Let's jump into your plot, please.
Sure. Okay, so for context, I rewatched The Wedding Singer on a plane a couple weeks ago, and that informs a lot of what I thought this movie would be.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I've got...
you said for context, I was like, what the fuck?
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so first I've got the trailer summary for you, and then I have
summary. We've done that before, I like that.
So, cool.
Carl McCarlson is a normal high school kid.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
He wears acid wash jeans and blasts flock of seagulls. His parents just don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Jesus and America too. But Carl is also a time traveling pirate, hell bent on wrestling the design for the Walkman away from the big business hack Mickey Reagan. Will Carl and his cousin, Stacy McCasey, succeed?
All right. Mm-hmm. We can workshop
and
those.
And put control of the newest music technology in the hands of the listeners and independent artists? Or will the corporate monsters win out? And will Carl and Stacy make it back in time for the spring fling? Only time will tell.
Oh my God. Wow.
This has all the hallmarks of a wonderful 80s movie.
Yeah.
I'm very excited.
Big fan of
also,
everything that just
for
happened.
For starters, we're getting Sony product placement in here, so we get some extra cash on the deal. Like,
yeah.
This
yeah.
is
I
so
mean,
good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Could have thanked Sony.
Oh, yeah.
This movie does love product placement.
Sony
so we'll
can sponsor episode 58. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
Okay.
Sony can sponsor whatever they want. They can just send me fucking mini disc players and I'll still take them.
Sony never gave me hepatitis is all I'm saying. So, okay.
Thank you, Sony.
So, Caitlin, what's your full-fledged movie there?
Okay, so I'm going to give you scene one in a fair amount of detail, and then it moves faster after that.
That's
oh, sure, that's a good thing.
Okay, yeah, we always burn out as we go along. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, character, maybe a second act? Third act resolution. Here we go.
Yep. That is our usual, so... Perfect, yeah.
So we open on the close-up of a front of a car. It's light purple, it's beat up, and it's more than a little dirty. Mm-hmm. Dick Toot, played by Christopher Lloyd, says from off-screen, I'll sell it to you for $800, but for another $100, I'll make sure it runs real well, if you know what I mean. And he winks.
What the fuck does that mean?
couldn't possibly know what that means. Yeah.
So the camera pulls back to show Christopher Lloyd talking to Michael J. Fox, who is Carl McCarlson. Uh-huh. And Carl McCarlson is deeply disturbed and says, I do not know what you mean.
Okay.
Oh, great. Oh, what a relatable he's an audience character. Stand-in. Yeah.
So Stacey McCasey, played by Leah Thompson.
I love that name.
comes out from the back of the car to say, why would you get a car that doesn't run well? Then she asked Dick, why didn't you just say it cost $900? And she talks to Carl again to say, it's still a good deal. I'll lend you the extra $100. Grandma gave me some cash for my birthday, and you can pay me back when she sends you a card next month. Or you can just let me borrow it all the time, because they're cousins.
Okay.
So Carl looks up at Stacy. There's a glint in his eye. He clearly adores her. She's so logical, but she also looks really good in soft focus. But she's also his cousin. Oh no, this became a subtext incest movie. Yay.
Okay.
Interesting.
Interesting stuff.
Interesting choice.
You mentioned she looks good in soft focus. What's the Vaseline budget for this movie, by the way?
Infinite.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Oh, who makes Vaseline? Because they sponsor the movie, too.
Just tub upon tub. I'm pretty sure it's P&G.
Well, they got money to burn. That'll be fine. Yeah.
This just became the best funded podcast.
Yeah, I mean, thankful for our new overlords, P&G.
I will say anything that you put in my mouth, Dr. Gamble. Yeah, and that's a guarantee.
They run 1/8 of the economy.
I will sell out all of my beliefs for that sweet, sweet money.
Okay, so now Stacy and Carl are pulling out of the garage. Stacy's driving, because even though it's Carl's car, he still has to wait a few weeks to get his license. As they pull out, we see Dick Toot in the background. He also has a glint in his eye, but we don't know why this time. Mm. The camera lingers on him for just a second too long. So while they're in the car, Carl whines about not having his license, talks about his work at the record store, and his complicated feelings about the Walkman. Sound quality isn't as good, but his arms are too weak to carry around a boombox.
Oh my god. It's high fidelity. Uh-huh. This is perfect. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Stacy's sympathetic, but she's also on Team Walkman, because how else can she secretly enjoy listening to Debbie Boone's great 1977 hit, You Light Up My Life, without all of her punk rock friends making fun of her? Only Carl knows about her wide-ranging musical interests. Mm. So then they pull into the high school parking lot. Brad, played by Billy Zane, is dressed in a Miami Vice suit. He yells...
Brad is, like, the best name for Billy Zane I can imagine. Like, yeah, he was born Brad and only accidentally became Billy.
Yeah, I buy that. Yeah.
I was looking up most popular baby names, like, born in 1965.
Wow, you did way more research than you probably should have.
Yeah, that's amazing, yeah.
No, we run into this every time we have a guest on. They take things way more seriously than we do, which is funny because we're the ones trying to be successful at this.
Yeah, I feel like I gotta live up. Okay, so Brad yells, hey, Carl, can't you drive by yourself? Why do you have to get a girl to do it? So the cousins get out of the car, and Stacy just willfully vomits on Brad's suit.
And that's what's in soft focus. That's going to look wonderful.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so that's end of scene one. That's what I wrote in detail.
Cool. Abrupt. That's so good. Rest, yeah.
Rest of Act 1 is we get some scenes that show the cousins' musical tastes. Carl likes hairband rock, pop hits, and synthesizers, and also Prince. Stacy likes everything from punk rock to opera to sappy 70s ballads to Prince. This movie has a really good soundtrack.
Is there going to be, like, an incest love scene set to Prince?
Oh, there is now.
That's going to, that's going to really color my love of Prince. That's upsetting.
I mean, if it isn't already purple, there's something wrong.
Touche.
Okay, so they're driving around in the car, and we start to get a sense that when Dick said the car would run real well, he probably wasn't making an opaque sexual innuendo. Something else is going on. Stacy and Carl can't remember what happens when they drive. They seem to jump in time, but only a few minutes, and so they just chalk it up to deja vu or zoning out. Mm. And then they start to hear this faint noise when they get in the car, and it's like... And it's originally voiced by the Police Academy's Michael Winslow.
Perfect. No, this is very good.
Friend of the show. Friend of the show.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that established?
Maybe. It is now.
I think so. Perfect. He's been discussed.
Run with it.
So the end of this act is the cousins are in the car together. They're driving around without a plan. They're talking about their plans for the rest of senior year, their mutual hatred of Brad, who they want to take to the spring fling. They're generally inspiring some fan fiction about their illicit romance here. And I guess we can put Prince on that one background.
Sure.
And then suddenly, they start blasting their favorite super creepy, supposedly romantic stalker song, Every Breath You Take. Dick shows up behind the car out of nowhere. He looks crazier than ever. He's got a Walkman hooked to his waistband. He comes over to the window and says, I've been watching y'all. You've got great taste in music, but you don't know how to use it yet. And you definitely don't know how to use this car yet. I'll show you.
Oh, God.
So they think he's about to flash them, but instead... Yeah.
Just that phrase. They think he's about to flash them.
If Christopher Lloyd's wearing a trench coat in the first act, you're going to see his dick in the third.
I mean, that's one of those...
Screenwriting 101.
Yep. Chekhovian laws about dick flashers.
So instead, he starts... When the faint sound comes on in the background, he starts singing along. And it's Rebel Yell by Billy Idol. Oh. Louder now. So once he sings Rebel Yell, we get this swirly whirly scene and we don't know what's happening and Cousins wake up in the car. They look around. They've left the suburbs. They've landed in a big city. The world looks pretty much the same except for people's styles. Colors are more subdued. Hair is less poofy. They flip on the radio and they find...
It's no 80s of mine.
Well, it's not the 80s. They flip on the radio, and they can't find any of their favorite songs. And then they see some women who look like their moms walk by, and that's really weird, because they remember that they're cousins. And then...
Wow. This is a very important theme for you, apparently.
I mean, what's a movie without an incest subtext?
I mean,
you must like very few movies.
I want to name like at least one that doesn't have that, but I'm blanking. Yeah. So like maybe you're right.
I mean, Chinatown is considered one of the best movies of all time. Mm. According
also,
to
Tango
everyone
and
but
has
us.
Some incest.
Also, the real
too, so.
Back to the Future turns out.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Very important. Yes. Very central to the plot.
That's the one thing I got right. That's awesome.
I don't know about one thing, but yeah, keep going.
All right, so they realize it's the early 70s, but why are they there? What did Dick mean that they had to use their taste in music? And were his intentions nefarious or benevolent? Given that they have no home or money, and they're sticking out like sore thumbs in their acid-washed jeans, signs point to nefarious. But then they see a suit named Mickey Reagan, played by Crispin Glover, talking to another suit about a big idea. The Walkman. And his way of talking about it is beyond nefarious.
Oh.
He wants to take as much money as they can from the listeners and the artists. They want to put subliminal, pro-corporate messages over every song. I didn't know we were going to do so much corporate sponsorship when I was writing this.
Oh, no.
Well,
I mean, neither do the corporate sponsors at the time of recording, but, you know.
We're all about the money grab.
Yeah,
just go
with it. So you made
totally
Spotify.
Good.
Yeah. That's...
Okay.
A more cumbersome Spotify.
So they realize, or they think they realize, this is what's been happening to them when they use their Walkmans all along. Mm. But no one's going to stop them in the early 70s because no one knows what a Walkman is. And it's horrible. And this is definitely the biggest issue facing the United States in the 1970s.
I buy it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Wait,
That's definitely the biggest issue facing
this,
the United States in the 1970s.
Does this new car
not a peanut farmer being president.
Oh, well. Does this new car theirs run on gasoline by any chance? Because they might have something to say about issues in the 70s. Nobody? Okay, never mind.
I was going to let you dig that grave yourself. So.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay. You want to talk about Iran-Contra for a while, or what?
We have before, I feel like.
No, let's go to montage part. We're at montage part.
Yay.
Perfect. Yeah, way better. Way better.
Yeah. So yep. Now the rest of Act 2 is them learning how to dress, talk, and act like they're in the 70s, and they're business people. They have to get hired, and they have to plot to take down the big boss. So think 9 to 5, working girl, and 13 going on 30.
Oh, that's a lot of ammunition.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's gonna go well. So they, long story short, they succeed. They make all the other suits think that the Walkman is a terrible idea that will never catch on. They steal the designs and bring it to a slightly younger, but not as much younger looking as he should, Dick Toot, who isn't a mechanic in the 70s. He's an underground music manager. They still don't know if they can trust him, but who else can they turn to? It's the dog-eat-dog world of the 1970s. So, will they use the idea of the Walkman for good or for evil? Now we are moving on.
Evil?
Evil? Right? It's evil, right?
Could really go either way.
We don't know.
I
mean,
okay. I feel like I would use it for evil, and as an audience member, that's really what I want to turn out. So
that's on brand for you, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, there's only one way to find out.
You get
back into your time traveling car, you use the signal Rebel Yell by Billy Idol, and you head back to the comforts of 1985 in time for the spring fling.
Oh, let all those past bozos do the hard work, and they just show up to reap the rewards.
Definitely.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, except that they go too far! The car can't be controlled!
Oh,
so now it's 2014. They have totally missed the spring fling. Everyone has hoverboards that actually hover, and music is mostly cacophonous drivel that comes out of every home and every business all at the same time.
Yeah, it sounds like 2014 in the real world.
It's pretty close, yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
So were they wrong to trust Dick? Did they just expedite corporate evil instead of fighting it? Was the Walkman, as it was, the only thing saving America from self-destruction?
Yes.
But wait, what's that? The sound of Debbie Boone's You Light Up My Life coming out of a mechanic shop. It's so strange. And then the last shot, we see an image of Brad's obituary in the newspaper, and he got hit by the same car that they were driving. So what does it mean? And we have to wait for the sequel to find out.
Holy shit.
Beautiful.
I love the idea of answering no questions in the first part of a... Yeah.
Oh,
also...
I'm so happy that happened.
The end credits roll to Radio Gaga by Queen.
Ooh, that's a good
song. Yeah, that's a very good choice.
Wow, might be one of the closer ones. Like, not sort of every detail, but like thematically, this is right on there.
Also, though, some details.
Oh, I'm excited, I guess.
Seth
or
Zach, do either of you have the one sentence summary?
That's a Seth job usually.
Like what are you even asking, Lee?
Fucking
drink
our big Heinz or Hunts episode.
Yeah, like I always have it. What are you talking about? Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
we're back. What the fuck? Say it.
Caitlin, would you like to hear the one sentence with many, many comma splices?
My favorite kind of sentence, yes.
Yeah. the one sentence comma splice in written summary of this movie.
Yes.
All right. Well, so it is 1985 is the when this film came out, but it is Marty McFly, a 17-year-old high school student. Inexplicable comma, is accidentally sent 30 years into the past in a time-traveling DeLorean invented by his close friend, the maverick scientist Doc Brown, who is...
Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher Lloyd.
Mm-hmm. Of earnest fame.
How are they friends?
Well, it's never really gone into in the movie.
Covered.
Kind of gloss over that.
So, like, physicists and high schoolers are just best friends in this.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, wait. Are all three of you saying that when you guys were in high school, you didn't like just have an older friend that you hung out with all the time that was like maybe 30 or 40 years your senior who you would just go over to their house and hang out and do experiments?
No.
No,
our dads aren't scientists like yours.
It's true.
I feel like I definitely did have that experience, though. Even though I was like making a goof there, I think I did have that experience.
For sure. Yeah.
Without all the overtones of sexual abuse that you dropped in there.
There's no, in my experience, and also in the actual movie, there's no overtones of sexual abuse in that regard.
Yeah.
Not in that regard.
No, not in that regard. There's certainly the Caitlin-esque incestuous plot.
Is incredibly important to the movie.
So glad I got that right.
Yeah.
So
boy, did you ever,
guys? Since I mean, this one's I have a pretty quick summary.
Yeah, you should plot
it out in my head, and then we can really just dive into talking about everything about this movie.
Oh my god!
We'll fill in some relevant details for you, but I'll tell you a little bit more about what happens.
Wait! Before you do that, Lee.
Yeah, sponsor
break.
Still finishing the one
sentence. Vaseline is owned by the company Unilever. Who in 2016, Kraft Heinz tried to acquire and failed
to. Out.
Wait, our enemies
because
or
they
friends,
didn't
Kraft
offer Heinz? Enough money.
Oof. The enemy of our enemy is my friend,
so,
you know, so.
We don't need Hunts, we can go to
Unilever.
Unilever,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that Unilever is now sponsoring the podcast, but maybe.
I mean, why not? Like, we all use, hi, my name is Lee, and I use Vaseline for all of my soft focus needs. I rub it on my eyeballs and stand out in the twilight, and I get a real kind of misty version of the world.
Yeah. I film a lot of porno here, so...
Wait, Lee, is the implication like, I have 20/20 vision, but I prefer everything in soft focus, so I rub it in my eyes every morning, just so I can,
and
like,
then I jump into
the
car,
over.
And I get headed on to the world. Yeah.
I love this petroleum-based product that I can just pour into my eyes every morning.
It only burns a lot. It's fine. Yeah.
Nothing will make you smile quite like some fucking Vaseline on your teeth.
See? We're so good at this. Like, why has no one?
Yeah, we are. We're definitely gonna get
people
a corporate sponsor by the end of this.
Money.
Yeah.
Episode 58. You don't even need to reach out. They're gonna reach out to you.
We keep hoping. Yeah.
You're gonna be able to hear like the teeth whitening that we pay for in between now and episode 58 with
it
all the sponsorship
crisper.
Money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Teeth are shattering like diamonds in our mouth.
Shattering?
that's not
how diamonds work.
Anyway,
All right, so, Lee, in a seamless a plot synumery.
Seamless.
Lee, in a seamless a plot summary.
Seamless.
I'm so tired.
All staying in. None of this gets edited out. Okay, Caitlin, here is a slightly more involved summary of the movie.
Oh, fuck a Rooney.
Michael J. Fox plays Marty McFly, so you got the Mick last name, right?
Yeah. Your weird, like, shit, I can't remember. Prefix.
Yeah, okay. Your whole don't interrupt thing. There we go. It's going real good with the stammering.
I was going to talk about prefixes for a while, but I gave up. Anyway.
On the job market. Seth Fart Noise on the job market. Prefixes. Marty's an 80s teenager. His best friend is inexplicably an elderly scientist named Doc Brown. That's Christopher Lloyd.
Okay.
Marty has a girlfriend. He's a musician, but he's afraid of failure. He ends up, his parents are Crispin Glover and Leah Thompson in Old Face. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
So he goes to help Doc with a thing in the middle of the night, one night, and it's, time travel. He soups up a DeLorean to be a time machine.
Inexplicably.
Yeah, he has reasons, but they're dumb.
So anyway,
needed plutonium to build a time machine, so he stole it from Libyan terrorists who show up and kill him. Marty gets in the time machine to escape and then goes back in time to the date that Doc wrote down, which was in 1955.
Okay.
He just randomly put in the date when he came up with the idea for time travel. So he ends up in the past, he runs into both of his parents, and unintentionally ruins their meet cute that ended up getting them together. He mm-hmm. realizes, one, that his mom is super horny for him. Two,
for him, the time-traveling son.
Uh-huh, time-traveling son. Two,
his mom is super horny for anyone who her father had hit with a car.
Basically,
turns out.
Yeah, we'll get into that.
What?
We'll get into that. So he looks up Doc Brown. He convinces him he's from the future. The doc helps him figure out how to get back to the future because the time machine only had one charge in it.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yep. So there's two plots going on. One is getting the time machine set up. They need a lightning strike, and luckily Marty, there's a famous one in the town he grew up in, and it's about to happen. The other one is getting his parents together. In the meantime, there's a lot of hijinks with bullies. One of the bullies is Billy Zane.
Nice.
We were very cruel giving you Billy Zane because he does not even have a line in the movie. He is basically an extra.
In part two, he has a number, like, he has many more lines. And by mm-hmm. many more, I mean like three or four. But
which is many more than zero.
Yeah. Because I watched part two last night also.
Oh, damn.
Oh, yeah, I love part two. Two's my favorite one. Yeah.
I fucking hate part two.
We can argue about this later.
How many are there?
Three. Okay. Soon to be four.
It wasn't a planned trilogy, but after the first one was successful, they filmed two and three back to back.
Yeah.
It ends up being all the action comes ahead of the school dance where his parents were supposed to meet and fall in love, basically. He fights the school bully. He invents rock and roll. Marty does. Which I'm glossing over.
This is a problem.
This should not be glossed over. We will definitely,
we'll definitely talk about it.
Having known rock and roll in the 80s, he goes back and pretends he invented it.
Yeah, well.
We'll talk about it.
It's unclear.
Very important.
Other people who have talked about this movie in the past who have done a lot of really funny, interesting things about this particular plot point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm sure anyone who actually listens to the show probably is familiar with After Hours from Crack.com.
Yeah, they did a great job about this.
This is actually the first episode of that show in detail talks about some of these issues. So we'll talk about them later. So Marty gets his parents together, ends up getting back into the time machine. Doc helps him make it back to the future. In the meantime, Marty was able to warn Doc about the terrorists, and he survives. And then the end of the movie is Marty in a slightly alternate 1980s where his parents are not fat and hate each other anymore, but are successful and love each other still. And his siblings are all really successful too, even though they were shitty mm-hmm. before. And he has a cool truck now. And then his girlfriend shows up, and right at the end of the movie, Doc shows up in a much cooler, more souped-up version of the same time machine because he was in the future, and mm-hmm. he needs Marty to come with him to help his kids.
Oh, yeah, and so, that's number two?
Right, and And one of the things I was reading was they didn't plan a sequel. They put that in as a final joke for the movie. But when it was so successful, because it was incredibly successful, it actually holds the record for most consecutive weeks at number one of any movie. It was almost 4 months. They were like, well, I guess we got to make another one. Luckily, we left the door wide fucking open. So that's Back to the Future.
And then, well, guys, then they did that.
I have a lot of questions.
They did that same thing for number three, but ooh, they fucked it up real bad.
Well, number three was explicitly written along with number two. Those were written together.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. They filmed them at the same time.
Oh, interesting. All right.
Like, if you watch Back to the Future Part Two at the end, there's a preview for part three.
Oh, weird. Okay. Hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Who plays the girlfriend?
Unimportant.
Yeah.
In the sequel, she gets recast immediately.
In the sequels, it's Elizabeth Shue.
Oh,
really?
But it wasn't in the original.
But in the original, she gets recast immediately.
She's in about two scenes. No, actually, the actress stepped away because her mother had cancer. It's actually really sad.
Oof. Okay.
There's a lot of recasting in the history of these movies.
Yeah, this movie has a sordid past. It's confusing.
I feel like there's an elephant in the room we have to address right now. Christopher Lloyd as the Ernest movies. Can we discuss this for a little?
Yeah, you thought Ernest was in these movies.
Yeah.
Jim Varney is the man who played Ernest.
Yeah, Jim.
Not
really?
Yeah. I didn't even realize this when I was looking
this
up.
Jim.
They look alike, right?
Not really.
They both have kind of gaunt faces, maybe?
Jim Varney's a little more rugged looking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
When Lee told us that you hadn't seen this movie, Caitlin, we were beside ourselves. And then when he told us that you were like, oh, that guy from the Ernest movies, I nearly shit my pants. Like, I was so excited that this is the level of, like, where we're at with you coming into this. That's so good. Yeah.
Do you like that I've seen the Ernest movies, but not the Future?
Yeah.
Is your favorite one also Ernest Scared
Stupid? Because if it's not, I don't know how we can continue to be friends.
Ernest Scared Stupid is probably the best of the Ernest films.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, or Ernest Goes to Jail.
I was just going to say that. Fuck yeah.
They all have their merits, for sure.
I'm a bigger fan of Ernest Scared Stupid because I believe that it might flow well into the Leprechaun cinematic universe.
Okay.
Oh, dear.
It's very similar in a lot of regards, but...
Okay. Both of the movies use a lot of MIAC in them as plot devices, so...
I feel like Jennifer Aniston would be down for doing a
an Ernest movie.
A Leprechaun / Ernest Scared Stupid crossover movie. Maybe.
Wait, she was in the Leprechaun original.
Yeah, she was in Leprechaun one.
Oh
yeah.
My god, that's inconceivable.
Before she became a real person.
Yeah,
and then there's
Holy
a pile of
shit.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
If only Jim Varney wasn't dead, and if only we were talking about those movies.
I know.
This week.
Well, hey, to be fair, Jim Varney and Christopher Lloyd, both very, very awesome human beings, is my understanding.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd is a real awesome dude.
Yeah, like very likable. Everybody says he's the best. Yeah.
I'll throw this little bit of trivia out. I was reading. Christopher Lloyd almost didn't accept the role, but his wife convinced him to take it. She said, it's going to be a lot of fun. You should do it. And he loves the movie so much that whenever he stumbles across it on cable, he watches it.
Yeah.
I just think that's the cutest fucking thing.
Really good. Christopher Lloyd's eyeball game in this movie where every time that he is surprised or confused or interested or like upset by literally anything, like his eyes explode and he's like
I was gonna say he's like a human Muppet, like his emoting is just out of control.
Is amazing.
It's very good.
I think my Nixon and my Doc Brown is his name, by the way, in the movie.
Okay.
Doc Brown are basically the same impression.
Let's also establish that Caitlin's character names were so much better than any movie I've ever seen in my entire life.
you did a real good job.
Thank you. Character name consulting.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should look into that. What should we talk about first? Do we lead off with the incest? I think we do.
Yeah, let's talk about the incest. Probably. Let's just get it out of the way.
So Marty ends up in the 50s, and what he finds out, the story that his parents have been telling for years about, oh, your father got hit, my dad hit him with my car, and we nursed him back to health, and then he asked me out to the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, and we fell in love. So Marty finds out that his dad was in a tree with binoculars spying on his mom.
He was a peeping Tom.
They didn't even know each other.
There's all kinds of upsetting, like
gross sex stuff.
Peeping Toms and
almost actual
weird
rape.
There's a rape scene.
Dudes assuming that they are beholden to have sex with women, which is
several times. Yeah.
Yeah, several times, which is really, really shitty.
So what happens is Marty, like, pushes his dad out of the way of the car, not thinking, and he gets hit by the car, taken into the house, and his mom in the past, like, ooh, here's this cute boy in my bed, and he's in his underwear, and fancy.
She does strip him.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's a Florence Nightingale sort of situation going on where
they specifically talk about that. Marty, it's Florence Nightingale syndrome.
I'm so confused.
Great Christopher Lloyd.
Great,
getting ready to pull into his driveway. So he's like going slow enough to not kill someone.
Okay, but in the original 1950s, when his dad gets hit by a car, does his dad intentionally get hit by
no,
the car?
No, I think he like
falls
out
of a tree.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he's a weird, horny 16-year-old.
He's a dirty pervert, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a real
lanky
piece of
motherfucker.
Shit. He's a real piece of shit.
I don't know if you're familiar with how Crispin Glover looks.
Yeah.
But
okay, so this is one of my few points. Like, Crispin Glover, I guess, was always the worst because he acts like a total fucking psychopath.
Oh, look at that hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say, he is really good looking in this movie. Like,
he is very interesting looking.
No, his face is like chiseled. It's like really.
Yeah.
He looks like a doll.
He's got good cheekbones.
Porcelain. He looks like porcelain.
But
he does dress well, which is something that I can appreciate.
But he acts like himself in real life, which is to say, a serial killer. So, like, I don't know why. Like, she falls for him eventually, and Lee, I think, talked about that. Like, he saves her from the rape thing from the bad guy.
So we haven't even gotten to that. Yeah. So the
Are
incest,
there other bad guys?
Yeah, yeah. So there's this bully named Biff who always picks on his dad, and like it's played by a totally different actor.
Yeah,
but
Brad.
But let's call
Brad,
him Brad.
Exactly.
Let's definitely
call him Brad.
No, so he is a total Brad.
Before MJ goes back in time, even in the present, the 80s, Biff is picking on his dad. Like, so he goes back in time. He's always picked on his dad. Biff has the hots for his mom, and like Michael J, who she starts calling Calvin Klein because that his name was stitched into his underwear.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Calvin takes her to the dance, even though he's trying to hook his parents up. And while they're in the car parking before the dance, and she full on like makes out with him. And he's like freaked out, and she goes, "It's weird. It's like kissing your brother or something." Which is, she's great delivery in that scene. He leaves.
Leo Thompson does a good job. Biff
I was gonna say that car. Too. She's very good in this. Yeah. Yeah.
Biff gets in the car and basically starts to try to rape Lorraine. That's his mom's name. And Crispin Glover was already, him and Marty had already arranged it where he was gonna come save her from Marty.
Yeah.
So he shows up and like finds his courage and beats the shit out of this bully. Okay. And then they fall in love at the dance.
So the moral of this movie is we hate Biff's, Brad's sexual predatoriness, but we are all on board with Dad's sexual predatoriness.
Right, because it was private.
Exactly.
We didn't know. She would have never known about it. That's the difference.
No, the real onus for that is Michael J. Fox understands the time travel paradox and starts to disappear when his parents get further apart from each other.
He has a picture of him and his siblings, yeah. And throughout the movie, his siblings start to disappear from the picture. Right. And eventually,
but they're shitty, aren't they? So,
well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, mostly it's that he starts to disappear, and he's like, oh shit, I have to get my parents back together or I cease to exist. So, like, right. We overlook a lot of the horrible shit because, you know, that's his self-preservation or whatever. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of horrible shit in this movie, but...
Yeah.
do either of you guys... I don't have the strength to say the thing that I said in the chat last night when I was watching this movie. Do either about Michael J. Fox and his mom, do either of you guys want to
throw that out there? I don't remember it. I think that's on you, bud.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
So, earlier in the movie, it's set up that he's supposed to go, like, lose his virginity to his girlfriend in the present.
Oh,
yes, like, that is true. That is
the next day.
Yeah.
And, like... I think I said, well, he's definitely got condoms with him, so, like, why doesn't he just fuck his mom?
yeah, I do remember that now.
They're both really attracted to each other. You can tell.
I don't think he's all that. I think he fully understands the dynamic of the whole
familial relationship. Before he realizes who Lorraine is, his first line is,
Mom!
Yeah, no, like, he definitely knows. Oh, yeah, that's true.
As he's wearing his purple Calvin Klein underwear, that she removed, she removed his pants at this point.
Yeah. And... Mm-hmm. I mean, she is all about it, for sure, but, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So that's the incest plot of this movie. Yes.
Oh, boy.
It's
fairly
innocent, you know.
It is an intense incest plot.
Dare I say, should we just talk about the rock and roll thing and then rate? Is that easy enough?
We could tell about the rock. And then I have like one or two points.
Have one or two points.
Oh, so definitely not.
Zach, do you
want to
lead off with the rock and roll thing?
Yeah, sure. So Marty plays guitar in real life in the present times, and then he goes back in time. And as they're doing some, like...
Which is one of the theme songs of the movie. Huey Lewis wrote two songs for the movie.
Nice.
One of them is Power of Love.
Yeah,
Which and then is inconceivable. That's a independently famous song. Like, how was that? I had no idea that
Power
was
Power of Blah.
Yeah, so good. So good.
And then the song that plays over the end credits called Out of Time.
Yeah.
Back in Time.
I get it.
Back in Time is the name of the song. Yeah. But the license plate on the DeLorean says Out of Time. But the song is Back in Time. Yeah,
that's true.
Which takes up eight places, which is kind of some fuckery because, you know, license
I don't know the laws in California.
Well, okay, maybe it's different in California. In the rest of the continental United States is seven.
There are states where you can get eight. If any, California would be one. There's a lot of cars. I don't know. I mean, it's not. The math doesn't quite work out on that, but, like, who knows? Yeah.
I feel like we don't need to get bogged down in this.
No.
Zach, talk about the rock and roll.
Right, so at the...
You don't want to get bogged down in the DMV laws of various states?
I live in a state with the highest per capita personalized plates. I could get bogged down if I wanted to.
I mean, your state is, in fact, very expensive to register cars.
Is it? Yeah.
Because I thought about doing it back when which I lived there.
Oh.
And abandoned that fact.
Mm-hmm. I once saw a Honda Civic with the license plate Civic.
Like,
really,
why bother?
Mid-level sedan.
Yeah. Potential future friend of the show of ours, our friend Kristen, yesterday sent us a bunch of pictures of a Good Charlotte themed Honda STI.
No, nope.
That is apparently
just
driving
SI.
Around town here.
Just SI, yeah. And yeah, but then we found
out it was an SI.
We found out it was a contest in, like, what, 2003, and these people won it from the band. Won that car
and
from the band.
Had it since then.
Yeah, and it's still driving around the town that you guys live in.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We try not to dox ourselves anyway.
Nice. Yeah. Uh-huh.
We definitely got bogged down though.
We have been bogged down.
Yes.
So Zach.
Yeah. Rock and roll.
Marty invents rock and roll.
So tell us about rock and roll.
We're
Zach.
Back at the dance in the 1950s, and the guy that plays guitar in the band for the dance hurts his hand in some hijinks.
The guy whose name is I want to see if you can guess.
Oh, it's
the guy. You can guess the reveal that happens later. The guy, his name is Marvin Berry. He plays guitar and sings in the band. His name is Marvin Berry. think about that while Zach's telling your story. Yeah.
So they're like, well, how are we going to play our songs? Nobody can play guitar. And of course, Marty is a Van Halen style shredder, like just fucking kills it, apparently.
Oh, the reason that he needs the dance to continue is his parents, even though now they're together, have not yet fallen in love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
he's got a really good read on these things.
Yeah, yeah. So
well, he starts disappearing. So
okay, right. All right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he gets up and starts playing, and then there's some disappearing that happens, but then he comes back because the parents get together, and then they finish the like Temptations song, and then he's like, "Hey, I got this new jam." And
they were playing Earth Angel by the Penguins.
Oh,
but okay.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever. I was about to say
it's all black and white to me. I don't. It's not my jam.
Oh boy.
So then they're like, "Do you?"
Things.
They're like, "Do you know any cool songs?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he immediately directs everybody like, "Blues, what something?
Blues riff and yeah, whatever key, yeah,
B minor, something, something. Follow the bass line.
E, yeah. C minor.
All right." But so he ends up playing Johnny B. Goode, and all the dudes in the band are like, "Oh shit, this is amazing!" They're just like killing it on Johnny B. Goode, and everybody in the crowd is just kind of like, I guess initially into it. And then pan to the guitar player, and he's like
on the phone,
and he's like calling his cousin or brother, and he's like, "Hey, you know that
his
new
cousin.
Sound
cousin.
You need? This is the sound." And then he holds up the phone, and it's Johnny B. Goode,
and he goes, "This is your cousin. Hey, Chuck, this is your cousin,
yeah.
Marvin Berry."
Marvin Berry.
Yeah.
Well, and then Michael J. Fox.
"You know that new sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this."
And Michael J. Fox sings as, I think, Kenny Rogers. Like, he sounds like either like a
coming out of him is
like a mid-40s black guy or like a mid-60s white guy. Like, definitely.
I don't
not
know
Michael
why you
J.
chose
Fox.
Kenny Rogers, but all right.
He sounded so old and weird. Yeah.
It sounds nothing like Michael J. Fox.
No. And then he goes into Van Halen actual shredding, just like. And then the whole crowd is staring at him like, "What
he
the
loses
them, fuck
yeah.
is happening?"
And
but
he goes,
"That's
I bet your kids will really like it."
Yeah. That's the invention of rock and roll, and that's Chuck Berry stole it. I guess is the implication. I don't know.
Yeah, I did come up with an alternate, like a female-led Back to the Future, mm-hmm. and it was Marcia McFly,
played by Leah Thompson.
Yep, starts to sing Jolene, and person in the band, goes, "It's your cousin, Molly Parton. You know that new sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this."
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm pitching that right now to Paramount. I don't fucking know who made this movie.
I like it. I think the funny part is since 1985, history has not shined upon Chuck Berry.
No, lots of stuff. Yeah. He's dead now, though.
He is.
I guess. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Well, what do you guys got besides that,
Seth? What fun facts do you have?
Well, when the Libyans try to murder Doc Brown, they're using a Kalashnikov, and the Kalashnikov would not jam in that.
Oh,
way.
Shit. You
That's
are
true.
Not
they're
wrong
famous
about
for not
that.
Jamming.
They...
I saw Lord of War.
Oh, uh-huh, I feel like I should have picked up
on
that.
Yeah, you seen that?
Damn it.
Zach, don't you...
Lord
you
of War is your...
Yeah.
I do. I own one of those guns. Yeah.
Yeah, I know you do. You asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. They do famously never jam. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
Well. Yeah, and we can get into some Russian bullshit if we want to, but about the Kalashnikov.
Some other time, maybe. Yeah. What other stuff do you have? Yeah.
I had a bunch of issues with the time travel system.
Okay.
Because they...
What, you mean the science of it? Because we can just skip that.
Well, time travel isn't real yet, so, like, there we go. Yeah,
I mean, the arbitrarity of using the Gregorian or Julian calendars for this sort of thing instead of some kind of astronomical events that would...
Interesting that's the beef that you have with time travel.
He gives Marty... He gives Marty a bunch of examples before he sets the date. And he's like, "Well, you see the birth of Christ." And he's just December 25th, 0000. And it's
I'm like
that's
fuck you.
Oh,
Give me a little more information than that. And
It is a very Christian-centric movie. This is true. Yeah.
You do know that this movie is 2 hours long, and they didn't have a four-hour sequence of him designing the fucking time.
Yeah,
place,
but
right?
Like,
they made a prequel.
The whole middle of the movie is the prequel.
Like, well, I really want to know about how they deal with uncertainty principle and how you have to have two molecules occupying the same time space. It's very upsetting to me. It's
so
a number
you should go on you should go on YouTube sometime and just search Back to the Future because there's all your shit right there.
I was gonna say, to be fair, of all of the time travel like paradox issues, they tackle a fair amount of them. I mean, they hand wave them. They're just like
they do. They
but like they at least acknowledge them, sort of.
This movie is great at doing a bunch of like bullshit, which I really really appreciate.
Yeah.
I think part of the reason they're so good at tackling, like, paradox issues is something that I wanted to bring up. This, like, I think it's USC Film School uses this in their intro to screenwriting class as the example of the perfectly crafted screenplay.
Oh, oh wow. Fuck so, that. That is that sounds like some jack-offery.
In
like,
the
they're
sense
just like,
that,
oh, yeah, I'm so good at writing screenplays.
In the sense that everything that happens in the movie has been set up earlier in the movie. There's no loose threads.
They
everything,
do, for the most part, do a good job.
It's a time travel movie, so, like, yes.
Right, yeah. So they paid a lot of attention. Like, they're so good at doing the hand-waving because they set up the explanation for the hand-waving earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
And it keeps happening.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
Like, I noticed when I was watching it yesterday, I've seen this movie a ton of times, this is the first time I ever noticed that I guess even though the sequels hadn't been even conceived at the time, they set up events from both of the sequels in the first 30 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, we were talking about this. They were like, apparently the filmmakers like chose certain weird random points and then made movies out of these weird random points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is way weirder than them setting it up in the first place and just writing it into the first movie. Like, that would have made way more sense.
Yeah.
But this script went through 44 drafts.
Holy
they made
fuck!
It.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's
44 drafts. Yeah, it was over and over again over the course of like 5 years till they finally got to the script that they used to shoot with.
Yeah. Oof.
It's a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
I had issues with their radiation suits when they were dealing with plutonium.
Always the practical.
Always the
for
science.
You. Yeah.
Always the science.
Well, they had apparently radiation high waters where, like, your ankles don't matter. You can cover the rest of your body, but your ankles don't matter. Yeah. So,
I never heard nobody getting ankle cancer, Seth.
So, oh, well. Yeah, good point. Good point.
It's...
Old filled.
Yeah,
that's fair.
A couple of my other notes are this had the second best car chase in a parking lot of any movie
that I could think of. I've got some issues with
not
this.
The first
Go
best,
ahead.
But the second best.
Oh, okay. Wait.
Well, the second, the first best is obviously the Blues Brothers.
Oh.
Where they...
Well, they go straight into the mall in that one. Though,
exactly.
So like,
well, it's more or less a parking lot, but like, there's a very entertaining parking lot chase scene in this movie.
Yes.
You know why it's so entertaining? It's not very long.
It's not. And all of these cars that were actually very slow in real life moved very fast in this movie.
Yeah,
well,
that's
a VW
true.
Bus is keeping up with a DeLorean. What?
Also,
and a DeLorean was also notoriously
being...
slow.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say DeLorean's being a competent car.
Yeah. I looked it up today. The 0 to 100 speed on time on a DeLorean was 24.6 seconds. So I was telling Lee to get to 88, which is the speed that they have to get to time travel, it would have taken them about 20 seconds, which it definitely doesn't in this movie. Not even close.
Yeah. I mean, let's throw out the fucking baby with the bathwater. Of course, if they couldn't get up to speed fast enough, Zach, then none of the movie's valid.
It's the finer point. Seth is talking about ankles. What do you want from me? I mean,
I only have two more points.
Right. Okay, good. Cool.
I have the use by Christopher Lloyd of to refer to a school dance as a rhythmic ceremonial ritual.
He's a huge scientist in this movie.
Christopher Lloyd and I have very similar linguistic like proclivities.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Where we're just gonna like Latinate everything and make it way more upsetting than it ought to be. But rhythmic ceremonial ritual for a school dance is about one of my favorite phrases of all time.
And what was your last one?
My last one is that in the future times, homunculus Crispin Glover is extremely frightening.
You mean like old him before they
no,
the timeline got reset?
Old him after the timeline reset.
Mm-hmm. New old him.
So we should talk about the old face makeup in this movie. It seems like they really just decided when people get older, one, their faces get fatter, and two, they get a lot of crinkles on their necks.
In Leah Thompson's case, they turn into Sally Field. It's very confusing.
But the fly Sally Field. Like, it was Sally Field crossed with, like, a sack of flour.
The
or
fly Sally
terrible.
Field?
Yeah.
So you're saying if Sally Field, the actual human, got in the telepod from the movie The Fly.
With a sack full of mashed potatoes, yeah. It's terrible. Yeah.
Wow.
No, like Leah, it looked like they did good makeup and then they left them out in the sun for like 18 hours. And then they were like, "Okay, action."
Yeah,
that's my theory for the Property Brothers, but I'll leave that for another time.
Oh, I hate the Property Brothers.
Yeah, who doesn't?
I have theories.
Yeah.
I can
well,
talk about
they look
I
like mashed it. Potatoes that had spent far
no, like,
too
they,
much
they
time.
Made Leah Thompson look like unnecessarily frumpy and stupid. And even Crispin Glover looked like he had been run over by a car. Like, well, I guess he had, actually. But, like...
I mean, I think it's because, like, they had to make a point of showing, like, oh, here's how the world worked out. And then when Marty went back and made it better by inventing rock and roll, they were hot again.
Well,
like,
turns out.
Yeah.
Were they hot again at the end?
I mean,
yeah,
more
they were
so.
Hotter.
More so.
Ish.
Fewer crinkles.
They still yeah. made a point to, like, old them up a little, which I can yeah. appreciate that at least. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I have a couple quick things, hopefully quick things.
I doubt
so
it.
We mentioned this movie got recast a bunch. They filmed
oh,
this
yeah.
movie for 6 weeks without Michael J. Fox.
What?
Which part? Almost the whole movie, I think, right?
All of it.
Yeah.
He was their first choice, but he couldn't get out of his show that he was making at the time, Family Ties. So they cast Eric Stoltz.
Noted asshole.
Have you seen Pulp Fiction?
I have.
He's the drug dealer. Who wears a bathrobe?
Okay, yeah. I don't remember the character. I don't remember what he looks like.
Yeah. Like in real life, he's like a noted shithead. I think. Yeah.
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 And
he looks kind of like Michael J. Fox.
Yeah, like a young,
fresh
faced.
He looks like a more villainy Michael J. Fox. I feel like. Yeah.
So yeah. he filmed for 6 weeks. They filmed a bulk of the movie.
And then they said no.
Well, yeah. And then him and the official story is he and the producers came to a mutual understanding that it wasn't working. So
yeah.
Whatever. He got fired. He apparently was method the whole time, and Christopher Lloyd thought his name was actually Marty. the other story coming from that, him being method, was that he was method except for when he was sharing a scene with Leah Thompson in which he would immediately drop it and start to hit on her. Yeah, real fucking
ugh.
Freak.
Yeah, garbage.
So when finally they fire him and then the shooting schedule for Michael J. Fox's show is a little lighter, he can do the movie. The only thing is he can only film nights and weekends. So most of the movie is reshot in the middle of the night. Michael J. Fox was getting like 4 hours of sleep a night for like 3 months.
I just, well, on that, on top of 44 script rewrites, like how the fuck did this movie ever get made? Like,
I know.
It must have cost a fortune to make this. Like, it's a wonder that the studio wasn't just like, no, definitely, like, scrap that. We're done with that.
A lot of the rewrites were from the studio. The head of the studio pretty infamously had some horrible, he had some good suggestions. Like, he made some suggestions that became, like, things that people say, oh, this is the best thing about the movie, came from these people. But he also made some suggestions that were so bad that Spielberg produced it.
I was going to say, Spielberg was an EP, so like maybe that helped a bunch. I don't know. Yeah.
So he sent a memo back to the studio head after he made some kind of crazy fucking suggestion that said, hey, we really liked your joke memo. It was great. And then the guy like backed down because he was too proud to admit that it wasn't a joke.
Wow. Yeah. That's a real power move. Well done.
That's pretty fun. So
there's a lot of recasting shit for this movie.
Honestly, it worked out. This movie was wildly successful, so.
Yeah, what, Seth, do you happen to have numbers at all?
No, give me 1 second. And
in the meantime, Hunts or Hunts. Either or.
Oh, it's about time for another commercial.
What is good and what
is
terrible? I don't know which.
Well, we'll never know. Total box office was only 38.1 million.
What? Number one movie of the year that
year. Yeah, what's total gross? It's got to be like in the hundreds for
sure. Well, Dr. Wikipedia Esquire the Third only gives me the box office.
Oh.
So, the budget was 19.
Wow, like, that seems I think pretty reasonable.
We have some incorrect info somewhere.
Is what Dr. Wikipedia Esquire the
total third. Domestic gross for Back to the Future was 210.5 million.
Okay, I'm seeing so Dr. Wikipedia
worldwide was 380.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm seeing almost 400.
I totally misread. It said 38. Or 381,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's I'm wrong.
So that's
I'm
like
totally
a
wrong. Okay. Yeah. I just was not reading right. It's $381,000.
So that's like vaguely 20x. That's pretty good for the '80s.
Yeah.
I mean that's
I mean biggest movie of the year. It was a huge hit. But yeah, Seth mentioned earlier tons of product placement. There's
Pepsi. God damn Pepsi.
A lot of Pepsi.
The California Raisins.
Yeah.
California Raisins.
Technically
in the sequels,
DeLorean.
Jaws.
Technically.
And Pizza Hut and.
Pizza Hut.
Oh, God. Yeah. Mm. Pizza Hut in the sequel is a big fucking thing.
Yeah. I watched the sequel also last night and it was very upsetting because I really hate the first sequel.
So hoverboards come from the sequel, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hoverboard, which, and the sequel takes place in 2015, so you were really close.
Yeah, you were weirdly close. Weirdly close.
Yeah,
yeah, it's upsetting.
But yeah, I don't have any other pressing things. Anybody, should we go to ratings, guys?
Wait, no, does it win any awards?
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
That's a sad way
to be fair, it wasn't that kind of movie. It was a crowd pleaser. It definitely wasn't that kind of movie, yeah.
It got nominated for like a couple minor technical Oscar type things, like special effects and script,
technical
awards, yeah.
Yeah, like writing.
Yeah. but I don't believe it won any.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do ratings. Seth, do you want to lead us off?
I do not.
Okay, Lee.
Okay.
Lee, would you like to lead us?
Sure, I will. I'll, as is my custom, I'll do the real movie first. Watched it again. I've seen it like, God, easily 10, 15 times in my life.
Yep. That's it.
It's super good. It's real good. Like it's fun. Every time I watch it, I forgot how much I liked it.
Yeah.
You're
a regular Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, for real. If only. Seth and I talk about this a lot because Seth and I are both big fans of the Addams Family movies, especially the second one, Addams Family Values. And we both.
Yeah, for sure.
We both want to be Gomez, but we both know that we're Fester.
Yeah.
Christopher
Lloyd
also.
Yeah, that's very accurate.
He also played Fester.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
I'm a Fester. I'm a Chris Lloyd. And I think Back to the Future might be like a 9.1.
Wowzers. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good.
All right.
Caitlin, Your movie was a fun time travel romp with some crazy twists and turns. I enjoyed it a lot. There was some good music in it. Love the fashion.
Definitely.
Yeah. Love the incest. It's all good stuff.
That's a pool quote right there. Oh, buddy.
I'm going to give it a very high score, but it's one of those times when I just can't give it a better score. So you get a 9.
I mean, it didn't go through any rewrites. So I mean, you got to give credit to that's the 44. That's
true. This one was a spark of genius, like the old patent laws.
43 fewer rewrites. That's not bad.
That's true. Oh, I had one more thing about the movie I want to mention. When Marty goes back to the 50s, his wardrobe consists entirely of clothing that I own and wear now.
Oh, so, yeah, we did talk about that. Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Seth, are you ready to go now?
Well, yeah, I mean, well, so the IMDb.
Oh, right, shit. Yeah.
We do that part, yeah.
Is 8.5.
That's okay. Yeah, very high for IMDb.
Out of 10, it's a very highly ranked movie.
Isn't it like number 32 on the IMDb list?
You know what? Really? I have goddamn idea. Why are there so many sounds happening right now?
I don't know, buddy.
But it has a 8.5, which is pretty high up there.
That's among the highest we've done, for sure. Yeah.
So Caitlin, I mean, I enjoy your time traveling romp because you did a surprisingly good job of emulating this movie almost to a ridiculous degree. So,
given my going in knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think maybe like there's some zeitgeist things going on here.
Yeah,
and
probably.
But I enjoyed it. So I'm going to give you a 7.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. It is high praise from Seth.
Yeah. It's not bad.
I genuinely
pretty good. Yeah,
it was pretty good.
Especially since you've gotten back to your dirty ways.
Yeah,
really.
Well,
bad
I haven't started giving people ones again.
No,
so,
but after we did all the math on the anniversary app, you were like, "Oh, I've been too kind. I gotta dig deep."
No, I enjoy this kind of thing. Like, I enjoy when people are leaving seeds of like narrative interest for me, where I have to pick them up, and then also some red herrings, and also that, like, that is the kind of movie that I really, really like, is where I am forced to pay attention.
Yeah, sure.
And Caitlin, I feel like your movie does that in a good, like, in a pretty decent capacity. Yeah. The actual movie, I'll give it a, I give it a 6.9 because of that weird incest plot.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
The movie
is we just not in our heart anymore when we do that, is it?
Yeah. The movie is quite good and it's worth watching. And they're like it definitely has problems, especially if you want to get into any kind of time travel issue.
It does better than some, but yeah, that's fair. Okay.
It does better than most.
Yeah.
And
it doesn't get too aggressive with its like changing of timelines.
Yeah, and if we expand it to the second movie, which I absolutely abhor.
Whatever, it's the best one.
No, it really isn't. I watched it last night. It's total garbage. Or the third movie, the good one, that has a coherent series of plots.
Hey, Zach, you want to tell us what you think about your
I could probably do it. I'm not that good at math.
Fine.
But I'm just going to note that Caitlin is tied.
Fine.
Right now.
I'm fine.
I'm what?
Yeah, you are dead heat tied.
Oh, you're tied. Yeah, you have the exact same score.
So
as back to the cumulative score. Yeah.
Yes.
So
tiebreaker.
I'm gonna start OG.
Time for Zach to be the bastard.
Yeah. OG Back to the Future. I think, as we've discussed, I've seen this movie like 20 times, and it is very sort of seminal and good. It has its problems, but like, yeah, script writing wise, very good. Execution, very good. I'm going to go 8, I think.
It's the least enthusiastic 8 I've ever heard in my entire
life. No, like, it's very good. It's just, like, I honestly, like, I was kind of bored watching it today because I wasn't even going to watch it. I was like, I've seen it so many goddamn times. Like, I think I'm just done with it. But I did, and I'm glad I did. Kaylin's movie, on the other hand, I think was very good. The naming, in particular, was spot on. Just true, exquisite. True. Yeah, no, it was a very fun run.
That was
run.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go 8-2 on Caitlin's.
Yes! Yeah.
So.
Definitive.
All I ever wanted.
Definitive victory.
Yeah, yeah. FT dubs. FT dubs. So, yeah.
All right, well, you're welcome, all.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for coming on.
I guess
yeah.
Thanks. Yeah,
and gracing us with this.
With my mom.
Oh my god! Yeah, gem. No, yeah. Just giving us the opportunity to have this movie on the podcast was just a gift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we do thrive on our cinematic blind spots.
Yeah,
I do want to ask you one quick question. Do you wish you could go back in time and erase this blind spot?
No, because now I can watch it.
Oh, hey, okay. I was going to say, all right, do you plan to watch this movie?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Obviously.
You should. It's pretty good. It's worth a watch.
Yeah, it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah.
At the very least, it is incredibly charming.
Yeah.
Gross at some points.
Yeah, it's quite gross.
Well, let's say dated at some points. Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no.
The race relations are not the best. The incest is pretty sticky.
Yeah.
Literally. Yeah. Yeah, but not sticky in a good way. Sticky in an upsetting way.
Yeah.
Because it's sticky in the good way. That's the problem.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
what is the worst movie you've ever done on the podcast?
Oh,
Buffalo 66.
It's it is. You're right. I was gonna say that's controversial, but no, it's definitely that.
Or Chinatown. We all hate both of those.
It's
movies.
Either that or
Chinatown. I fell asleep during Chinatown. I haven't finished it.
No, you
it's fucking terrible.
You made the right choice. You made the right choice.
It also has a big incest plot.
It does.
Yeah, fuck, it does. You're right.
So now we're one and one for incest movies that are
Have
good.
You ever seen Buffalo 66? Cuz it's also fucking
no.
Okay.
Fucking shit.
Definitely
don't watch
that. It's really terrible.
Listen to our episode about it, though.
Yeah, do
because
that.
Because
it's more
my
fun.
Version
it's
more fun. Is awesome.
Seth's version
it
is very
really,
fun.
Yeah, yeah. It's our favorite movie that any of us have ever made. We all cried.
It is true.
So, yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was great. All right. So, next week, we got Seth back starting the top of the batting order with Big Night, which is going to be... I mean, I know Lee and I are very.
I don't know what the fuck you want from me.
I mean, a movie like every fucking
just whatever.
Week. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like every week.
You do you, buddy.
That'll be good. That'll be good.
And if you fuck it up, we'll just go back in time.
Oh. Okay,
was that Ghostbusters?
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
That happened in
that's
all
definitely
those
the cut though.
Huey Lewis and the News bullshits.